Man, I love that song by Zayn. It's called I Don't Want to Live Forever. Anyways, man. Woo! So one thing I love about this podcast is I get to pretty much say whatever the hell I want to. And like I said, it's great therapy for me. And I've had a fucking stressful 3 or 4 weeks. And I'm really, I don't know, I'm kind of disappointed in myself. Like, here I am with, like, how to live better and everything. But I find myself falling back into the same traps as well. So I just want to update you guys. Part of the reason I haven't had a podcast in a while, I've just been overwhelmed. And it's my doing. And the reason it's my doing, even though I always get overwhelmed by other people, I always place the blame on me, Mr. International, because at the end of the day, it's my life and I have to stand up for myself and I have to say no to people. And, you know, it's very difficult. My friend thinks it's impossible. I think it's just really difficult to shake old programming. And so this last month has been like, woo, trouble. I mean, like, everything has been going really smooth. I've been in a great place, you know, mentally, everything's going well. And then I just started taking on, I have this bad habit of taking on too many things. And it's interesting. I don't know how to phrase it, but it's not that I proactively go out of my way to take on too many things, but they come to me and I don't say no. So recently got involved with this new business, and that's, I want to put a lot of time and effort into it. And, you know, I keep getting these distractions that come up, right? So, like, one thing that happened recently is, you know, daughter started school at the public school. And lo and behold, it turns out that school ends really early in the day. And, of course, I let somebody else be in charge of that. And in their brilliant mind, they didn't realize that school ended, like, 3 hours earlier than the previous school. So guess whose shoulders that falls on? Mr. International. Why is that? Because I'm the guy with the flexible, so-called flexible schedule. So I'm always kind of left to pick up the pieces. And it's frustrating, right? Because while everybody else goes off and does their thing and works on their jobs and whatever, the guy with the actual big dreams and what have you, his shit always gets thrown to the fucking side while he picks up, you know, shit, cat vomit. And let's hope at the end of the day, there's something left over for him to chip away on his dreams. And so I found my schedule get turned upside down where now all of a sudden, you know, usually I wake up at around 9 and my day is done at around, you know, 5. And, you know, I go to the gym and I do a lot of self-care things in the meantime in the middle of the day, but I get to work on my stuff. All of a sudden I found that now I had to drop a kid off at, like, I had to wake up at 7 a.m., and essentially my day would end at 2 p.m. And that was tough because I just got and you know, it's tough from the sense that, yeah, I know that's life, but it got thrown on me at the last, like literally at the last minute, the day of. It's like, oh, by the way, this is what's happening going forward. And when you're dealing with people that have no foresight or thinking ability, you end up often as the more intelligent person having to pick up all the pieces that they leave behind. I'm blaming somebody for this, obviously, because I feel like it. That person will go unnamed. But here we are. So that's how my week started, like, 3 weeks ago, maybe even 4 weeks ago. And that's, guess what happened? So I'm frazzled. Oh, here's where it gets better. Thanks to LAUSD, that's the LA school system. They arbitrarily also tell everybody, oh, by the way, school ends at 1:30 on Tuesdays every Tuesday for the rest of the year. So on Tuesdays, my schedule, my day now ends at 1 p.m. So, like, please tell me, how are you supposed to, you know, run two businesses when your fucking day ends at 1 p.m., right? So, yeah, it's been really tough for me. And but here's why they say when it rains, it pours. Well, guess what? That's not where it even fucking ends, dealing with that. That same week now, like, 3 days later, one of my best friends from, like, 25 years ago, all of a sudden calls me out of the blue with, hey, we're coming in, me and my mom are coming in tomorrow. So give us your address so we can stay with you. And I'm like, what? And you know, this puts me in a real pickle, right? Cause I'm like, right away I had like a massive fucking panic attack. I guess you call it a panic attack or anxiety. I don't know what you call it, but I just felt overwhelmed. Like I could feel my, I don't know, man. I'm so like, I don't even know how to verbalize it, but you just feel like your head's going to explode. And I don't know how, I kind of envy a little bit people with like these one track minds or these people that never answer their cell phones and stuff. Cause I'm like, I can't even process this. So let me see if I get this straight. Not only now do I have these compressed days where I can't really do anything, work towards my own goals or do anything for myself. Now I have to fucking entertain two human beings coming into my house when I'm not even prepared for them to come. Because, you know, here's the backstory. About a month and a half ago, I had talked with my friend and he was like, oh yeah, probably will be coming that weekend. And the thing is, I never heard from him over the course of the next 3 or 4 weeks. So I proactively reached out to him a couple of times through Facebook, which is the only place we'd ever been talking through anyway. We'd only ever talked through Facebook, right? And I could see he'd received my messages and I could see him active online on Facebook and he never replied. I'm like, hey, are you coming? Are you guys still coming? And because I needed to make plans. Like I can't put my life on hold, which I say I can't put my life on hold, but let's face it. All I ever do is put my life on hold for everybody else. And so what ended up happening is he never replied to me for like weeks. So I thought, okay, well, I guess I'm off the hook. Because who on earth staying at somebody else's house doesn't follow up with them to confirm a week or two before, or more importantly, doesn't reply to the host's messages asking or confirming, are you still coming? So sure enough, literally like the night fucking before, or 2 days before, he calls my cell phone. He's like, oh yeah, so we're still coming. I'm like, well, dude, I don't understand. I haven't heard from you. He's like, oh, well, and of course, you know, here's where I'm really disappointed. He lies saying, well, I sent you a bunch of WhatsApp messages. Now, the problem in this day and age of lying about, you know, trying to communicate with somebody is that there's a track. There's a trail and a track record, right? And this app called WhatsApp, just like your regular text messages, just like Facebook messages, just like any messages or emails online, it leaves a footprint. And of course, I look at my WhatsApp and I'm a regular WhatsApp user. So of course, I go to his name on WhatsApp. I'm like, there's literally nothing. You know why? Because I'd never communicated in my life with him via WhatsApp. So I send, after the conversation where I'm flipping out, I send him a message. I'm like, hey, Carlos, I don't see any messages. To which he starts replying and sending me funny memes and things like that. I'm like, so you've literally never contacted me on WhatsApp. And so anyways, I was fucking flipping out. I'm like, oh my God, what's happening? And it was amazing how steady and stable and happy I've been for the last who knows how many months. And I felt like my world was crashing down. And I know it's so fucking stupid. You're probably listening to me thinking, man, this guy's nuts. Like, what's the big deal? Right? Like, but it's a big deal when that's happening to you. Or especially if you're a guy like me, like, we have so much going on. It is a big deal because all of a sudden, like, you no longer have control of your time. And now you super don't have any control of your time. Like, you're like a robot. And so anyways, I tell my buddy, I'm like, well, so when are you guys staying for me? He's like, okay, well, like, until Monday or Tuesday, which for me, that was even bad enough, 3 or 4 days. So anyways, I'll fast forward through all the nitty gritty. So him and his mom come, you know, it was great seeing him and whatever. But I'm not kidding. They ended up staying for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. I don't even know what to say. Like, there's so much that went on in between. But I wouldn't even go into all the detail, but it was too much. Like, by the end of the stay, I wasn't even being nice to them anymore. Like, they were the best. And here's the thing. All my guests that come here, they're great guests, right? None of them are nasty. None of them are, like, they're amazing. They help out. They try to help me as much as they can. Like, they try to stay out of my way. But they're still a nuisance, right? They're still a nuisance from the standpoint that they're still in my house and I can't be comfortable in my own house. And then in this case, Carlos, his mom was like, she was here for like a bunch of medical reasons, right? And I don't know if they just have no clue how the medical system works here or if they think money talks. But I don't know how they stayed 3 weeks. Like, they didn't make all these, they made one appointment. They would make appointments in real time while they were here. And I guess they thought things here, like in Mexico, where money talks and you can make an appointment today, get test results tomorrow and then have your follow-up appointment the next day. Like, they're completely ignorant to the fact that that's not how this shit works. It takes forever to make appointments, and then you have to schedule a fucking testing, whatever you're doing, and then you have to wait for the test results, and then you have to wait to make an appointment. Like, they're just completely clueless. And the problem I have in my house is that whenever anybody comes here, they get way too comfortable. Like, I always remember this one client that came to my house once years and years ago. I remember the first thing she did when she sat down on my sofa, and we had never met before, by the way. That was the first time we were meeting. But I remember the first time she came to my house, the first thing she did when she sat on my sofa was she took a breath out. She's like, I could live here. And I'm like, bitch, you're here to fucking see me for a job I'm doing for you. Nobody invited you to live here. Like, but people get way too comfortable here. And because I'm so accommodating, they don't realize that in the comfort they're feeling, they don't realize that's coming at the expense of me feeling uncomfortable. And it doesn't matter who it is, right? Like, I pretty much go into hiding when guests come because I'm busy working, right? Like, I work from home. And so when guests come to stay at my house, like, I can't do that properly because guests, they don't really understand what working from home means. Or if they do, they seem to forget it when they're here because they're kind of like on vacation. And so they see my human body here. So they're always talking to me. Like, for me, I just want to wake up in the morning, relax a little bit, breathe out. I want to make my breakfast, control what I eat, and then get to work, you know, or go to the gym or this and that. Like, I cannot handle going to my kitchen and there being two or three people there chatting away on their phones and them wanting to talk to me about this, that, and the other, or me hear their problems. It's just overwhelming. And so you may be listening to this conversation, this whole fucking diatribe of me thinking, well, so why do you let people stay at your house? Well, I guess that's the butt end of this whole thing, and that is I'm not. Like, I just saw this emotional toll, like, this thing took on me. And one thing I didn't realize over the last number of weeks is that I'm always kind of just catering to everybody else's wishes. Like, I always do what's convenient for everybody else instead of what's convenient for me. So when my friend called at the last minute and I saw his number on my caller ID, what I really should have done is just ignore it. And I know it sounds really bad, but it's kind of like when I think about it, you know, when I went down to Mexico a couple of years ago on a cruise, I was supposed to meet up with this friend as well. And he's, you know, we just had a great time when I used to live down there. And I consider him like one of the best friends you could ever have. But when I thought about it, I was down there in Mexico a couple of years ago and I was supposed to see him in Mazatlan, because he didn't live far away from it. And I remember when he said he would see me, whatever. And I remember when I finally got into Mazatlan, he couldn't see me anymore. Like, he couldn't come see me. And it wasn't a big deal or anything like that. I was just there for a day. Like, it was not a big deal. Like, I didn't care that he couldn't see me. I know life's happening. And it kind of occurred to me, I mean, I'm like, dude, you know what I noticed? Everybody else just does what's convenient for them. Like, why am I always doing this and stretching myself so thin? And what I started realizing is I looked at all, like, everybody I know, and I consider them all dear friends, and I think they think the same of me, but at the end of the day, they still don't stretch themselves thin like I do. Like, you know, if they're busy with their work and family and I text them, they don't text me back right away. Like, if I hear back from them at all, maybe I'll hear back from them in a day or two or not at all. You know, and with me, dude, with all everything, I'm shouldering literally 10 times more than all these guys, right? You know, aging parents, family, two businesses now, right? And I still am so quick on the trigger with, like, helping people out and responding to people. But then when I think about it, I'm like, why am I doing that? Because I'm doing all these little things are stretching me so thin that all I need is a little disruption, like somebody coming to stay with me to fucking make me flip out. And so I think, you know, I'm just not going to let anybody stay at the house anymore. And I don't care who it is. Everybody, you know, I've probably complained before about one friend and her husband and her little baby that came a couple of years ago during Christmas and New Year's. And man, ever since then, I've never even looked at her the same. I don't really talk to her much anymore. And she was also a very dear friend of mine. And I think, you know, I don't want to say, like, it's confusing, right? Because you have these friends that, you know, they're always there for you and things like that. But then they pull these little stunts, right? Like, she, here's another friend who kind of, like, it was convenient for her. So she kind of maneuvered her way into staying at my place. But I didn't want her to stay here because New Year's and Christmas are a time for me to relax and just chill out and enjoy the peace of the city. In an otherwise unpeaceful city, that area, that time of year is actually a quiet time in LA. I didn't want to fucking be driving all over town with somebody. I didn't want to have a crying baby at my house. I just wanted to chill out and relax and breathe. And, you know, she pulled that stunt too. And so I think what's going to happen here is I'm just realizing, like, I've been taking on more and more and more obligations and commitments, and life has changed for me. And I think the problem is I haven't acknowledged it. Like, I keep trying to live this old life on top of what's really a new life. I keep trying to, like, go out and have friends and do this and that and still have do all these other things at the same time. And it's just not possible. I'm trying to do the impossible, and it'll break me. So my friend left, and my friend Carlos's mom finally left. I didn't even really say bye to them because I was just so, like, at my wit's end at that point. Mostly, you know, his mom is great, dude. Taking me out to fancy restaurants and buying gifts and stuff, but I don't need any of that shit. Like, I need you to just recognize that a guy's trying to work here and you're talking all the time. Like, just because I go downstairs to leave my house, that's not an invitation for you to start talking to me for 20 minutes, because I'm in the middle of my day and I'm obviously going somewhere. And, like, it was overwhelming. And I think what I realized too is after they left, like, my body, just so you know, is in extreme pain right now. No, I didn't fucking get hit by a car. It feels like it. So what I realized after they left is, you know, his mom thought she was dying. That's why she was here for a bunch of medical tests. And what I didn't realize at the time is all of the time she was here complaining and whatever, I was absorbing all of her anxiety. And no wonder she didn't want to leave. No wonder they were sticking around, and no wonder she's, like, kept saying how good she feels being here and whatever. It's because I was absorbing all of her negative energy. And I don't say that with malice. Like, she wasn't doing it intentionally, but everybody does that to me, especially as a very empathic kind of guy. Like, so while she was here, on top of the disruption, my body was absorbing all of her anxiousness and anxiety and stress. And I don't think I realized it until now that they're gone. My body is in extreme pain. I can hardly turn my head. My back hurts. And you're talking, you know, I'm a super healthy guy. Like, this stuff isn't happening because I pulled a muscle at the gym, right? Because another thing that hasn't been happening is I've just been doing very light workouts while they've been here, the few days I've been able to go at all. And so now my body's kind of, like, almost trying to, well, not almost, my body's trying to heal from all the nonsense of, like, hearing her and absorbing her stress and whatever from thinking she was dying. And of course, not surprisingly, test results came out negative. She's all fine. She's not dying. It was just, you know, she's probably just a fucking hypochondriac with a lot of money. So anyways, I shouldn't diss her. She was very nice and loving and everything. But yeah, I mean, this is the fallout. And so what's the interesting part is I think they need to come back here to do something, because she bought some shit and she ordered some stuff and they're waiting for it to be made. And I think they think they're coming back here to my place. And I think what's going to happen is, it's funny, I'm looking at my WhatsApp. I'm not opening the messages, but there's something like 20 messages from her over the last few days, and I've literally opened none of them. And same with my friend Carlos. And you know what? I'm not going to open any of them. I'm just, because you know what? I'm not doing this again, dude. Like, I'm never doing this again. Because I feel my body all fucked up. I'm all, like, I'm not in a good mood, not in a good place mentally. And here we are. But I'm finally doing my podcast with you guys, so I'm happy about that. But I don't know, man. It's been 4 or 5 days, and I'm really edgy, on edge. You know, my wife's like, she said I was acting so crazy that she was thinking maybe she should get a divorce. And yeah, I probably fucking deserve that with, like, it all, because I'm giving her my stress and my anxiety, and it's draining on her too, right? So I understand, she's a happy person, and, you know, it makes me feel bad to hear that. So anyways, that's kind of my podcast for the day. I told you this is my podcast for releasing bad energy and, you know, whatever. So you guys listening are my therapy. So, you know, I guess the butt end, I always like to leave you guys with a lesson. So my lesson in this instance is to, and you probably already know it. So I'm mad at you guys as my audience for not, you know, alerting me to this earlier. But my lesson is to watch out for yourself first. And it sounds easy. It sounds like an easy thing to do. And it's like, well, of course, Chris, watch out for yourself first, right? But it's very easy not to do it when you're always being a nice guy and you're always trying to make everybody happy. And your instincts are to always try to, like, people please and whatever. And it's like, you know what? Today is what? September the 12th, I believe. Yeah, the 12th. I'm just going to now go through from... So my goal is this. I want to go through the next week only pleasing myself. So right now, even as we speak, I'm supposed to go to a whole bunch of things, like a birthday party. Another friend invited me to go to Santa Barbara. I have to go to some open houses. You can see how my schedule makes me go nuts, right? And I'm just, like, saying no to all of it. You know, I'm saying no to everybody. I'm not going to go to the birthday party. They ask me, where did you go? Why? How come you didn't come? I'll just say because I couldn't. I don't need to give reasons. So, woo! I need to get some air. I'm going to go outside. Maybe eat a nice, peaceful lunch. If I have time to do some other things, then I'll see if I can do them. And if I have to rush or stretch myself thin, I'm not going to do them. And that's pretty easy. That's how that's going to go. So thanks for listening, guys. You know, take care of yourself. Put yourself first. Put everybody else's shit second. You're not here to, you know, you're here to help people. All these dumb motherfuckers, self-help gurus that say, oh, put people... Be of service to other people. Fuck that. Don't be of service to other people. Be of service to yourself. People need to help themselves. Because living in the city, you know, if you're of service to other people, you're going to get fucking cleaned out. So thanks for listening. I appreciate your time. And I'll see you motherfuckers on the next one.